It's the restoration of something you had once before. And that is, when you were a child, you had a fontanelle that responded to the heartbeat. And that response to the heartbeat produced a very active, vital individual. And as you became an adult, that pulsation was lost. So what you're getting is your childhood level back.
Sometimes I feel my energy is really buoy, but I think that happened even before the accident. I had a tendency to be hyper at times. But when I run now, I've had some of my best running really recently, like that I've had in years, like since I've been 18, I'd say, or 20. And it's a real energy rush, and just falling into stride and just feeling really good running in the dirt. I don't get stressed out as much as I did before. I'm definitely more relaxed, but I don't know what to attribute that to, because my injury was a life-threatening one, and the surgeon let me know that I probably should be dead. So I don't know if it has to do with that, the fact that I feel just really, really fortunate to be alive, to be here.
Once one understands that all that is happening is that you're giving your brain more blood so that it can function clearer, like any other organ, when it's needed to function more, more blood is directed to it. It puts it all on a completely different workaday level.
Today, we know that a hole this size, which is less than 3/8 of an inch, is adequate to restore pulsation. So I went ahead drilling, and as I was using the blunt drill, the drilling got rather slow, and the very bottom of the drill there broke through the bone, and I could feel it start to give way, at which point I knew that I had penetrated through the bone, and it was time to stop the drilling.
It was a very, very quick operation. I couldn't quite believe it was over. I do remember, actually, a terrific feeling of sort of delicious sort of cold shower.
I did it in the middle of the night, and that was a success. It was finished in half an hour. Only it took me 4 hours to get the blood off the walls, for I hadn't counted on the electric drill making a fountain of blood that went on the ceiling. I hadn't counted on that. That was the one thing I hadn't counted on, but that happened.
I withdrew the drill. The newly restored pulsation blasted that blood that accumulated up there into a spout coming out of my forehead. And for a moment, I freaked. I thought, oh, no, I've cut into an artery. And it was a very strange moment. I had completed the operation. I was elated from that. But then I had a horror reaction there for a moment. And then I heard gurgling in my skull as the new equilibrium of brain blood volume and brain water adjusted itself.
It was very quick. A terrifying ordeal, but it was quick. And I did it in painless. It was numbed first, and then you went through here. Immediately he got through. He thought he'd got through just before actually getting point. And something, although I wished and longed for him to have got through, I was unsure. And Joe came and checked, and no, he wasn't through. So my God, the drill had to start up again. And then a few seconds later, I knew he'd got through. And it was like the wings of a butterfly or something. Or somebody had switched a tiny switch inside me, and suddenly it felt as though things were moving again, like they should be. And it was just like this, moving again.
And then I thought, well, as I'm an artist, and as one doesn't seem to be able to get any serious media cover, I'll make a film of it.
Although I show this film of my own trepanation, I'm not in favour of self-trepanation. I think it should be done by the medical profession. I show the film now in the hope that it may attract the attention of some doctor, able and willing to start their essential research into the subject, without which it will not become an accepted practice available on the National Health to anyone who wants it.
And maybe as art is a complete non-entity in the modern world. I mean, it's just a financial game, not a function which carries great psychic truths that used to in the old days. I'll make a film, and maybe with that I can help wear down the taboo against the knowledge.
I don't want to recommend anybody to do it themselves. I mean, I really don't think that's a sensible thing. Anybody who's listening to what I'm saying, don't go off and get a drill and think you can do it yourself without really studying it very, very carefully and asking someone who knows or whatever. I mean, it's not a sensible thing to do. What you should do is go and find a doctor to do it for you.
I studied medicine at Amsterdam University, which is here. I did the final exam and I was refused. They have a tactic to say no to you, even if your marks are high. And I didn't feel like repeating it, because the next time they would refuse me again. They refused me because I had been in the publicity about marijuana and about the third eye. I had learned of Freud that people need something to become sharp. Freud sniffed cocaine, and he was punished by nose cancer. That's what you get if you sniff cocaine. So I realized that I was not going to sniff cocaine, but that something was the matter with using drugs. And that finally made me decide in 62 to investigate marijuana smoking.
Most people at that time, in that period, were using drugs to increase their brain blood volume, to expand their consciousness, and they were doing it in a kind of willy-nilly way with very variable results. Some people were having good experiences and some people were having bad.
But you said a scale. You said, well, if an adult is zero and an acid is 100, and say smoking hash is 50 or 60, depending on the quality, then trepanation is perhaps 30. It's like an 11-year-old. I think that's the sort of level of energy and enthusiasm. And
I had taken a lot of psychovitamins. I found that one couldn't really use them as a working tool for life. Well, they were more a trip to the fun fair.
Now, the mechanism of brain blood volume had come to my mind after marijuana smoking, standing on the head by an American who told me it got him high. And then I decided I had to go to prison to have scientific circumstances every day the same.
When man stood upright, he obviously got immense advantages of sight and movement of the hands and everything when the monkey or ape stood upright. But then the disadvantage was that gravity pulled the blood out of the brain.
So I stood on my head. And then they rushed into the cell, the officials of the prison, and they said, no, that is not allowed here. So I wasn't allowed to stand on my head anymore and gave up the investigations. But I knew already that it did get you slowly a little high.
I think there's a kind of urge to get high, to expand the consciousness. And people, without knowing it, chase it one way or another. Either they have a habit of losing their temper or driving dangerously or going to football matches or sport or sauna.
I worked out a way of first sucking the blood as much as I could from the abdomen to the lungs, in the lungs, and then, while keeping the abdomen constricted, inspiring with air fully, and then pressing up the blood through the veins. There are no valves in the veins between the lungs and the brain. I knew that from anatomy, and you have to know that, for otherwise it's no use if there are valves, but there aren't. So you can from the lungs push the blood up into the brain, and I did this time after time, but on this Hatha Yoga method that I had designed, it didn't work out until the third day. Then halfway the day, suddenly I felt as if corks from bottles were squeezed out. I felt pop, 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 pop at 6 different places all at the same time. And after that, I felt a hot feeling at the skin of the back. And this feeling is described in yoga books, old yoga books, as kundalini, the hot snake at the back. At the same moment, I started laughing and I was top high. For it is that quickly, once the blockages are gone, the brain blood volume is immediately increased completely. I was sitting, singing and giggling about how funny the fate of mankind was to be so unhappy and be able to be so happy by just taking his blood in his brain. And I thought, well, this message is the one and only important message there is. And 5 hours after the kundalini, the beginning of it all, I was as down as that morning when I woke up.
I was a graduate of University College Oxford, which is where Bill Clinton went to study as a Rhodes Scholar. I was given the task of teaching him international relations after 1919.
John Lennon was visiting Amsterdam with Yoko Ono, and they were receiving all kinds of people. And John Lennon kept telling me that he wanted to have the third eye too. And I said, well, I'm certain you have it. Third eye people are your kind of people who do such difficult things as you getting a whole singing group together that becomes world famous, writing songs that everybody is singing now and wants to hear. I said, there's no doubt about it that you have the whole. He said, no, I don't believe it. He kept wanting it, and I kept contradicting him and telling, don't drill it, for it will be a deception. You will notice no difference. And Yoko Ono understood me well. Machiavelli writes down that every change in society that an individual pushes forward meets with a gigantic rejection by society, which threatens his life and makes it very difficult to bring about. Because of the authorities in society that have not brought about those changes themselves.
There's no evidence that under normal circumstances the brain function is limited by blood flow, so that increasing blood flow isn't going to make things better.
There's a very tight control of blood flow through the brain. It's directly related to the metabolism of the brain, the energy the brain needs, and it's very tightly regulated. If the flow goes below a certain level, you suffer. If it goes above a certain level, you suffer.
Blood flow to the brain is kept pretty constant, no matter what the status is of the skull.
Does removing that piece of the skull result in an increase in brain blood volume?
Temporarily, it might, might. But it would reach a new steady state where it would reach store. In other words, unless the space under the scalp kept swelling, sooner or later the pressure there is going to come back to normal, because you can't keep increasing the volume of spinal fluid under the skin. Then you have a big bulge.
There are mechanisms that help control blood pressure and so on in the brain, uniquely to the brain, that other organs don't have. the brain is quite sophisticated in that way, so that when you're ill or you're injured, your body's basically designed to preserve your brain's function, and will sacrifice other parts of the body in order to maintain the oxygen and glucose supply to the brain.
It'll go from a certain level to about 10% more of consumption, but the blood flow is only regional changes. You see, so there's no, it cannot go very high. If you increase the blood volume more than the normal flow, you will start stressing the function of the system.